Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songwriting Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Songwriting QT with you like normal. Before the guest arrives, if you are looking for some pro wrestling this week, tonight, WCW, like usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. You have FSKW, also in Indianapolis. SHW in Canton, Georgia. And Impact in Dayton, Ohio, featuring our former guest, legendary Larry D, in a world title match. Tomorrow night, HPW, like every first Saturday in Columbus, also in Columbus. RSW in Mannington, West Virginia. BTPW in Huntington, West Virginia. Impact in Louisville, Kentucky tomorrow night. BWF in the Bronx, New York. NEASW in Randolph, Massachusetts. 2PW in Worthington, Pennsylvania. And Kapow in Knoxville, Tennessee tomorrow. QT, sounds like a solid couple of days of professional wrestling happening.
Well, Sign, is it your goal one day to make it to Kapow Wrestling in Tennessee?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I think that's a very good organizational name. Kapow, yes.
Now, is it your dream in life to make it to Knoxville, Tennessee to see a Kapow show?
I would like to double dip and go see a Kapow show and the Kentucky Derby at the same time.
That'd be interesting. But I believe our guest is with us, so I want to bring him on right away. He is a young wrestler, but has a lot of experience. He's been in this business since he was very young. Dangerous Darren Deets, how are you doing?
I am doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Now, since today, remarkably enough, is your first time on our show, we're going to give you the first-timer's question to start. What led you to get into the business of professional wrestling?
I have an uncle. Ever since I was born, he watched wrestling. And he also is a professional wrestler. You guys might know him as Marion Meat Gene. So it's kind of in my family. It's, I don't know. When I went to my first show, I just fell in love with it. Wanted to do it. And ever since then, I've worked my way.
Now, your uncle's someone I've known for a very long time, and he goes back almost 20 years. He is wrestled in a variety of places under a variety of names in his career. When was the first time that you saw him wrestle in person and could really appreciate what it was that he was doing?
I mean, I went to a few shows the first time, and of course I was more of a fan, more of a kid, and I'd say when he was wrestling in SCW, he took me backstage and showed me everything, and that's when I appreciated it more. You know, I actually had a sense of what was going on and what these guys are trying to do. And I just wanted to be a part of it, I guess. So that's, I don't know, he's kind of an inspiration for me.
A lot of fans may not realize this, but when you first got into the business, you were very young, and you were sort of a valet to me at SCW shows in Paulsville, Washington. When you first are in a locker room and you have all these grown men and women that are in the wrestling business, what was your first impression of it?
A little shocked, you know, to find out a couple of things and how long these people have worked, how hard they've worked on their craft. And, you know, some of these guys have been in business for 30 years and never got anywhere, you know. And but to them, you know, they might not feel that way. To them, they might feel like they accomplished everything they wanted to. So to me, that was kind of special to seeing people. You know, a lot of people don't have dreams anymore, and these guys do. And, you know, that's lost art form in America. That's why professional wrestling is great. But my first time in the locker room, you know, I was told just to not ask stupid questions and just listen, you know, and be patient. And, you know, I listened to everything they had to say.
That is actually very good advice, and more young people should take advantage of that advice. I believe
I
we might have someone else with us. Let's take a look here. Do we have the caller from the 503 area?
Yeah, it's just me listening to Darren. It's our nephew.
Oh, not a problem, and thanks for listening.
Yep.
Well,
hi, Amanda.
Well, Darren, when you were valeting for your uncle, they would occasionally give you things to do in the match. You would occasionally hit a Hurricane Rana, where you'd do some kind of interference or something. You were very young at the time. Did the wrestlers there really help you along as far as training you for these spots? Did they make sure that you were as safe as possible, or were you just another one of the rookies that you were treated as if you were the same as someone that was new but several years older than you would have been?
I think it's mixed, honestly. I think some people weren't happy, and I think some people were excited. And I understand where they're coming from. I 100% do. But I had to learn things, you know, pretty much on my own. I had a little bit of help. But just like any other wrestler, you know, you're not – just because my uncle was had about 10, 20 years in the biz doesn't mean, you know, I had a free pass. I had to work just as hard as everybody else. And I knew that at the very beginning, so just, you know, took – there was people that were very safe with me, and there was a very small select few who weren't. And I'm not going to say who that is because it's not who I am. But, you know, they did apologize, and I'm very happy they did, you know. But for the most part, everybody's been, you know, everybody's been safe with each other when I wrestled back then. Back in those days.
Now, fast forwarding several years, you've recently reemerged and you've wrestled in a handful of promotions over the last year and a half. You've had a totally different look than the previous incarnation, a bit of a different style. What was the evolution like when you came back and you started working for all these different promotions and did a totally different type of yourself out there? You were totally different from what Little Creepy was.
Honestly, I got stale with what I was doing. And also I had people saying, you know, you're never going to be bigger than a... Well, hold on one second, please.
No problem.
All right. We're good. No, my bad. What was the question again?
Sorry,
I had to move out of
the
way for some people.
Oh, no problem. I was just asking, what was the thought process when you did a completely different version of yourself when you came back in the last year and a half, and you've been working
right.
in different places?
Well, after I went through some personal issues and family issues and whatnot, and my head wasn't right, so I stepped away for a while, and I just ended up missing it. And when I came back, I didn't want to do the same thing. I wanted to just do something different. I wanted to see if I could pull something different off and how well it would work. And, you know, there's a couple things I've done. One of them I'm still really proud of is Nutso the Clown. I felt that gimmick was actually one of my better ones I've ever done. But, you know, just like everything, I just want to evolve and always push myself and do something different. But, no, I feel like for every wrestler, you should always evolve. You know, you shouldn't stick to one thing because, you know, it gets stale. After a while, people get bored with it, and I just think it's good for wrestlers to reinvent themselves.
I agree with you 100% there. And we talked a little bit ago about how you're given the advice to listen, which is always good advice for someone that's young in the business. But thinking back to everything you've been given as far as advice goes, what would you say has been the absolutely best advice you've ever received?
That's really tough because I've had advice in outside the ring, inside the ring, and just in all different situations. I think my uncle and J.D. Mason have probably taught me the best advice that anybody else in this whole area, the Pacific Northwest, has ever said. I owe a lot of credit to J.D. Mason and Mary and Meat King. I think those guys can give you the best advice in this area. You know, there's tons of things, so I'm not going to go through everything, but, you know, one of them is just listen.
Now, speaking of J.D. Mason, his promotion, Northwest Pro, recently returned to the Vaughn Civic Center. That's one of several where you've wrestled in your career. What would you say has been the best actual venue for professional wrestling where you've performed?
I honestly think the Vaughn, the Key Peninsula Civic Center, I really like that area. I was very happy we got to wrestle at the Rock and Rally for the Troops last year. That was very cool. We got to wrestle at Cheney Stadium in Tacoma, Washington. And I know there's one more. I just can't think of it right now. But those are definitely the two venues that I really liked.
Recently, you made your debut for CPW up in Marysville, Washington, and you were in a battle royal that was for a vacated championship. What was the experience like when you got to CPW and it's a new company for you, and you wrestled there a time or two before, but this is a new location, new fans may not have known who you were. What was that experience like?
Well, you are right. I did wrestle for CPW a couple months ago back in Seattle, I want to say. But, no, they're great people. the owner of that promotion and everybody that runs it. I love them. They're awesome people. Very nice. Very good people to work with. I was very honored that they asked me to be part of their show. You know, just you should always be honored when somebody asks you to be part of a show, no matter what. But, you know, I was very humbled that they asked me to come and do a match for them. Without hesitation, I said yes.
One of the things that a lot of wrestlers have a preference for one way or the other is singles wrestling versus tag team wrestling. Some people have strong leniencies towards being a singles star. Some people have a strong lean towards tag team wrestling. Do you have much of a preference either way as far as tags versus singles go?
Well, singles and tag matches are two different worlds. That's two different, you know. Singles are fun to watch, but tag team wrestling, I personally think tag team wrestling is the best. You never know what's going to happen. Singles, same thing, but with four people, you could do a lot more than just two. And it's mixed, you know, people have their opinions and everybody's, you know, right to their own opinion. I would say to be a good wrestler in this industry, you should know how to do both. And you should know how to work any style, either if you're 5 foot tall or 7 feet tall. You should know how to work a big guy if you're five, and you should know how to work a small guy if you're 7 feet tall. That's what makes a good wrestler, not just that you can pull off all these good moves. Storytelling and what you bring to the show, and you know, that's good wrestling. You know, anybody could go buy gear, but you should know your training.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that might be kind of a lost art in wrestling today is the art of managing. On the national level, they're just starting to introduce a few more managers, where in years past there were practically none out there. The independent has a lot more managers, but it's still not at the level that it had been, say, 15 or 20 years ago. You've seen a lot of managers on the independents. Someone have classified you as a manager when you were starting out. What's your thoughts on managers and how they relate to the business in today's era?
Well, you know, managing it's definitely being a lost art form right now. I've met a lot of people who are good managers, met a lot of people who need a lot of work. I feel that if you do have a manager, that is your second half. You know, that manager should know that when you're hurt, they're hurt. When you're doing good, they're doing good. I definitely feel there's about two managers right now that are pretty good. I'm not going to say who they are because, you know, I'm just going to keep that to myself. But I would definitely like to see more managers and people take on different roles than just being wrestlers, you know. Managers, referees, commentators, they all have a part. They all make the show.
One of the managers on the scene today is Paul Moonshine, and he is currently under the control of Zach Winter's Freak Show, which includes your uncle. They have the rights to him. They have rechristened him Paw the Monkey Boy, and he is even on occasion come out in identical face paint to your uncle. Have you been following that situation and seeing what's been going on with the ongoing saga of Paw the Monkey Boy?
I have noticed, and I do know so I'm going to have to say no comment on that.
All right. One of the other aspects of professional wrestling that is a little bit controversial at the moment is intergender wrestling. It's been around since the dawn of the sport, but there's been periods where people are more strongly against it and periods where people are more strongly in favor of it. I don't know if you've had many intergender matches in your own career, but do you have an opinion just in general on intergender wrestling?
I think it's no different than man versus man and woman versus woman. I think I actually like it. Different feel to wrestling. I respect it. I really don't think it's any different. You know, it's just two people going out there and trying to win the match. And, you know, I know it's really popular right now, and that's cool. But, you know, there's always new things popping up. So, you know, just like everything, this will die down. And if it doesn't, that's cool. I'm happy for it. But I have no problem with it. I know people do, and, you know, that's their opinion. But I actually enjoy it. I think I've watched a lot of matches that are pretty entertaining.
Have you personally done very much intergender wrestling in your own career?
Very little. Very little, but I have.
In wrestling, everyone knows that it is a physical sport and injuries will occur if you're in the business for any length of time. We've all suffered them at some point in time or another, be it a minor injury or something more serious. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome personally?
Well, there was one wrestling show for Northwest Pro I did, and I probably had the worst sprain you could have for an ankle. I actually wish I would have broke my ankle than how bad that sprain was. But that one, and when I went for a moonsault to the outside, I ended up missing my opponent and landing on partially on him and then onto the hardwood basketball court. And fractured my nose. And those are probably the two worst ones I've had. But no, the ankle one was probably the worst. The nose one just happened fast and it was over with. But the ankle one was that took about 3 to 4 months. That was rough.
I did break my ankle in a match once, and I was out roughly 5 months, so I know exactly what you feel like. One of the more popular parts in professional wrestling in the last couple of years has been lucha-style wrestling. It's become more and more popular with the advent of the Spanish broadcast cable stations and YouTube. There's a lot of lucha style promotions all over the country now, popping up in places like North Carolina and Indiana, places like that you wouldn't necessarily expect it. Are you a fan of wrestling someone that does the lucha libre style, or is that something that isn't necessarily your preference?
I don't mind it. Not my favorite. I will be honest, it's not my favorite, but I respect the art form. I love to watch it. I just not my favorite style of wrestling. I will definitely participate in lucha wrestling, but it doesn't bother me too much. It's kind of more of like a, all right, I guess I'll do it. But one of my favorite wrestlers is Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and Ultimo Dragon. I love those guys. Those guys made me love Luchador. So, you know, I'd like to do more training than Luchador, but not ain't,
One of the other styles that is slowly catching on in the United States is the British style. It is a lot more mat-based and submission and almost more of an amateur feel to it. Do you do a lot of the British style of professional wrestling?
I haven't watched much of that, honestly. I haven't watched much of the Big E in a while, and I haven't watched much wrestling on TV in a long time. I watch a lot of older stuff, and so I'll have to check it out. I do know I've heard about Walter and Pete Dunne and a couple of these people, but I don't know much about it. So I'll have to do my homework on it.
If you like older stuff and you want to learn more about British wrestling, you should look up Billy Robinson and thank me later.
I'll have to look him up.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know QT has questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Darren, when you were a valet to meet, when you first started out, how old were you?
12, I want to say.
Oh, okay. So you were just entering junior high?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Now, did the kids in junior high ask you a lot of questions about what a valet is and if they could somehow get free tickets to a wrestling show? Seeing that junior high kids don't have that much money.
When I went to school, a lot of the people I went to school with wasn't into wrestling. There was a very small amount of people who were, and of course they were interested, and a lot of people didn't believe me that I did professional wrestling, and that was all right. You know, they've seen pictures of me now doing it, so, you know, that's, they kind of have to swallow that pill. But, no, I didn't get asked a whole lot about it when I was in high school and junior high.
I don't understand that, because maybe it's because due to the internet, cell phone, perhaps. But in our day, wrestling was huge. Now, this was back in the mid to late 70s when I was in junior high. And boy, the kids would all talk about, Portland wrestling matches that they saw before. And most, and especially in grade school, you'll have to go back to exactly the mid 70s or early 70s. All the kids were acting like Playboy Buddy Rose or the Kangaroo. Why the non-interest and non-involvement at the junior high level when you were starting out?
I'm sorry, half of your conversation cut out on my phone.
Oh. I thought I was being censored. Oh, okay. Never mind. Now, why do you suppose when you were in junior high school that there wasn't that much interest in wrestling? Back in the 80s, when I was in grade school and junior high in the 70s, all the kids would pretty much gather on the playground and, you know, discuss the matches, like with Doug Savage and the Kangaroo and the Von Steiger brothers.
I just, where I live, you know, wrestling people don't respect it where I live. But you know, I mean, there's other people in the world who do. And, I just feel like everybody's into their own thing, and I wasn't going to, try and push something that some, you know, they're not interested in, because that would just kind of be rude. You know, there's a couple people I talked to wrestling about, like, oh, did you see what so-and-so did and this and that, but I think the most talk that ever got talked was when I was in 10th grade was because of the whole pipe bomb situation and CM Punk. When that thing went down, of course, wrestling kind of blew up again for a small little bit. So, of course, people were talking about it, but ever since then, it's no one's really been talking about it where I live, other than the underground community and the marks for wrestling.
Wow, okay. That's a little bit sad. Okay. Was there ever a time when you were a kid in grade school or at the start of junior high where you took wrestling cards and put them in your bicycle spokes?
No, I never did that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darren, do you remember the first time that it dawned on you that you could go on YouTube and look up old videos of wrestlers? Was this serendipity moment, an aha moment, where you maybe rushed home and went on YouTube with great excitement?
I've had a lot of wrestling DVDs, and of course, you know, one day I was like, huh, I wonder if old wrestling matches are on YouTube. And of course, when I found that out, I sat there for hours watching and watching and watching, but pretty excited.
Now, when you were in junior high, did you go out for the wrestling team? Did they have a wrestling team?
They did, and I didn't, just because I moved. The start of 8th grade, I moved out of my hometown and moved to a different town. So I didn't really have a whole lot of friends and just a loner. And I didn't want to participate in anything. I was kind of depressed. And, of course, I wish I did. It would have been a fun experience to do so, but I just didn't.
Now, you said you were a loner and you were kind of depressed. Were you one of those dark goth kids in a trench coat? And if so, did you hang out with Denny's and eat coffee?
No, I'm the person that looks like a skateboarder. So depressed. It doesn't matter if you look goth or emo or whatever. You know, there could be a football high school star. He could have the worst depression in the world. Depression hits everybody.
Wow. So. All right. Well said. Yes. Okay. Well, Darren, Roddy Piper once appeared on the Joan Rivers talk show. And at one point in the interview, she asked Roddy if he was making enough money and maybe enough money to retire in the future. And Roddy got this look on his a smile on his face, and he goes, "Well, you know, Joan, I have to feed. I have five mouths to feed, and I also have a pregnant horse, and I don't remember going out to the barn."
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My question is, if you could go back in time, would you yourself have liked to have been on the Joan Rivers show or the Johnny Carson show as a wrestler?
No, I think any wrestler would want that experience. I definitely think so, but hard telling. I wasn't there.
Okay, if they could time travel, okay. Now, what were you going to say before I tied you in interruption, before I rudely did that? Yes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What were you going to say when you said go ahead? And I said, go ahead at the time.
I was just waiting for you to finish your sentence.
Okay.
I didn't have it. Yeah.
Gee, I myself did not know that Roddy Piper owned a horse. Now, if you owned a horse and you had a chance to run a horse in the Kentucky Derby, what would you name your horse?
Two-legged fast horse? I don't know. Rusty.
Okay. Now, subliminally, when you picked the name Rusty, was this because of the Seinfeld episode
where Kramer had the business of providing people with rides in Central Park in a carriage.
I've never seen the show.
Oh, you never saw the show.
No.
Okay. Well, Darren, I'm going to give you a homework assignment to look up the YouTube video Seinfeld, Rusty the Horse.
All right.
This is a homework assignment. Very important that you do this.
I'll have to get on it.
Okay, very good. All right. Yeah, it's not exactly wrestler. How would you say? There's not much wrestling in the video. I don't know. I guess Rusty could make Rusty the horse that pulled the carriages that Kramer steered. I guess he could have been a good wrestler, but no horses are ever in wrestling. So I digress. Okay. Well, Darren, what's the longest road trip you have taken with me?
Probably Washington to California, I would say, in a car.
Ooh,
but
hey,
I mean, I could be wrong. I honestly don't remember. I've been to many places.
Wow! Now that a road trip to California is pretty long. Do you remember the city in California you visited?
I just remember not liking it. More of a woodsy person, not a city person.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, do you remember going through the redwoods of California, in Northern California?
Never went.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darren, have you ever been ranked by Pro Wrestling Illustrated yourself?
I believe I have not. I don't know. I don't believe they have.
Would you rather be ranked number one or the coveted 500 rank?
Honestly, I think everybody would be number one, but I'll just go with the 500 honor, being on there.
Wow, very good. Okay. Would it be one of your life's goals to be one day ranked with Meat and make it to the 100 in wrestling tag teams in the Northwest if you did tag team with Meat?
That would definitely be a special moment for the both of us. That'd be awesome, but you know, we live in different states and we wrestle in different areas. So you never know. You never know what the future holds. Maybe one day
okay.
We will.
All right. Well, Darren, when you were up in Marysville, Washington, and you were wrestling for CPW, did you get to meet Superfan Llama, the guy that wore the llama mask?
I honestly can't recall.
Okay.
I remember doing a Hurricanrana a few times with me.
Was Defola Debashi on the same card that night that you were there? Defola Debashi.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he was on a couple cards I've been on.
I see. Have you yourself ever witnessed Defola Debashi going up to a fan and taking a bite of their pizza, just taking a piece of pizza off their plate, biting it, and returning it? Have you ever witnessed this?
No. And
oh, okay. All right. Darren, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what your entrance music is? Every wrestler has entrance music.
I've had multiple different musics for this last year. Right, the last show I used was a song by Lamb of God.
Okay, all right. That's kind of metal group, isn't it?
No, I change my song every show. so the crowd doesn't know who's coming out.
Wow, very good, very good. Now, would you consider, and this is the criminal staff, that one of his matches in the Northwest, that you could use the entrance music by Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld? Would you consider this?
I would have to give him a listen. But who knows, maybe. I'd rather want to meet him than just use their music.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not exactly like a band that you could meet in the flesh and blood just yet. They're more a video band, yes. But their music's hugely inspirational. Hugely. I think our staff member Dimitri might be able to hook you up with a few videos of Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld, and maybe you could use one that's in your entrance music. Yes. Okay. That's a very good thought. Well, Darren, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have felt by a lady wrestler in the Northwest? And indeed, have you ever received a chop from a lady wrestler?
I have not, actually.
Okay.
I have not.
All right. All right, we'll go to the standard hardest knife edge chop from a male wrestler.
Oh, probably two-way tie between J.B. Moonshine and J.D. Mason. And Chuck Payne throws a nasty one, too.
Oh, now that J.B. Moonshine can throw a pretty good knife edge chop. Yes. Holy smokes, I've seen them throwing some knife-edge chops. Okay. What about, would you kind of fear a knife-edge chop from the seven-footer Jackson Price?
Yeah, I think I could take one.
Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. All right. Well, Darren, have you caught any tasty sponge cakes from the Northwest wrestler known as Snack the Jack?
No, I have not.
Okay, all right. Well, Darren, do you believe that this year, 2019, in the Northwest, we will see the debut of a wrestler known as the Global Warming Millennial? Do you think we could see that?
Anything's possible, so who knows?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darren, have you ever had a chance to talk with Northwest wrestler Kevin Sullivan?
I have. I've met him a very small amount of times.
All right. Did you ever pick his brain about the wrestling matches he used to have 20 to 25 years ago with several WWE superstars?
No, I wasn't in the room long enough to do that. I just said hi and my name and nice to meet you, and I went and had to do what was asked me to do. I didn't get to chit-chat with him for very long.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Darren, are you a big fan of the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest weekly rankings, which are sometimes switched to 20-day rankings? The Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings, and how much would it be appreciated if you yourself were one day ranked number one and get that coveted fruit pie?
I've only heard about this podcast a few times, and of course, I think anybody should be honored if they make number one on any list.
Number one on any list. Okay, well, that's a very good answer. Very good. Okay. Darren, do you hope to one day travel to Tennessee to see some wrestling, or maybe overseas to Japan?
Japan would be a fun experience, but the funny thing about Tennessee is I have a grandmother that lives in Tennessee, so of course it'd be nice to go to Tennessee, see some wrestling, and visit her. I haven't seen her in over 10 years, so
Wow.
That'd be very nice.
Well, now that's okay. Tennessee was a very important state in the Civil War. Does your grandmother live anywhere near the battlefield of Shiloh?
I don't know exactly where she lives. She did live here in Washington, moved to Indiana, then moved to Tennessee, and she's lived there for the last maybe 7-8 years.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Darren, can you do us a favor and see if your grandmother lives near the Smoky Mountains? And if so, could you report back to Sign Guy on this fact, the Smoky Mountains?
I will do my best. We don't really talk a whole lot, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Darren, have you ever been to a wrestle club in Idaho? And if so, have you met the wrestler named Locksville Nearby?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I have not.
Any plans on going over to Idaho this summer when the weather is a little warmer?
Well, I do want to do some traveling, and Idaho is on the destination, so who knows? I might stop by and check it out.
Very good. Very good. A little bit better when the weather is warmer, especially picturesque Idaho. Picturesque. Yes. Okay. Which brings another question. Do you prefer to wrestle an indoor or outdoor venue?
It don't matter to me. I actually kind of like wrestling in the indoor, but outdoor is pretty unique as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Stein Guy, and hopefully one of these days you will be ranked number one on the Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly rankings. Keep your eye peeled for your number one ranking, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, QT. Well, Darren, I know that at your size, very often you're going to be the smaller guy in the match, and you've gone in there against some guys that are fairly good size. What would you say has been the biggest size discrepancy you've had in a match?
There's been a few. I mean, there's a couple people that are very tall, you know, very big and tall. I think Natural Disaster might be one of them.
On the other end of the spectrum, has there ever been a match where you've been the bigger guy in the match?
I have. I wrestled a guy who was slightly about maybe 2-3 inches. So, you know, about 2 more inches taller than him. So, yay me.
And when you're the bigger guy in a match for one of the very few times, did it throw off your normal game plan as far as what you normally would do in a match, or was the adjustment pretty easy for you?
I have a different game plan for every match. If I'm facing a small guy, I have a game plan for that. If I'm facing a big guy, I have a game plan for that. I got game plans for days. I change it up.
Very good strategy, for sure. Now, every wrestler has those moves or holds in their arsenal that they really love to execute, whether it's their finishing move or hold, or just something that they like to do in the middle of a match or towards the beginning, that it's their own personal favorite move or hold to use. Do you have such a move or hold in your arsenal that's your absolute favorite to execute?
Well, there's nothing that gives the crowd more disgusted as a good old fish hook. Fish hook is still to this day, I think, one of the more powerful moves in wrestling.
As someone that has officiated a few matches, I can also say it's very illegal.
Maybe, but, you know, only if you get caught.
still illegal if you don't get caught. You're just not punished for it. Now, my understanding is that you implemented this fishhook to one J.D. Mason at some point. Can we confirm or deny that scuttlebutt?
Yes, that is true. It did happen.
Now, I don't know where J.D. Mason keeps his mouth. When you implement a fishhook, are you at the doctor making sure all of your shots are up to date?
Yeah, I had my shots done at the beginning of the year, so I'm good.
Now, the Northwest seems to be growing as far as being a hotbed for professional wrestling. There's a lot of really growing companies out there like Defy, 321 Battle, Blue Collar Wrestling, DOA, Prestige. So many great companies out there that are growing and growing. With that comes the advent of a lot of new great talent that is hitting the scene. Looking at the landscape of this area, are there any wrestlers out there that would be your personal dream matches to work as far as just local talent that you've not wrestled?
Of course, Tommy Dreamer. That'd be awesome. And one guy I really like is Randy Myers. I like that guy. Those are probably the two guys.
Randy Myers is definitely ravenous from what I understand.
I witnessed him once and I was very intrigued.
Now, some of the people that have been local to the area have gone on to do some of the national promotions, guys like a Darby Allin that is now full-time with Evolve, just as one example. Is getting to a national company something that is on your radar at this point, or are you happy being an independent, being able to wrestle your own schedule for how you want in your own career?
I would like to experience it on the national level, but I'm happy with what I'm doing for now. So I like both. You know, I think it'd be cool to wrestle for the E or whatever company is going to be the big company. But I enjoy the indies too because it's on your time.
Well, Darren, we have just a few minutes left in our show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything, the social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite bookstore, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, in March 23rd, Vaughn Washington, Northwest Pro, returns to the Kefenisa Civic Center. Doors open at 6:30 and show starts at 7. And that's all I got to say.
All right. Well, Darren, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. We appreciate it very much that you took the time to be with us. And I will see you in a locker room at some point in the near future. So I look forward to that. Bange, if you've not seen him, go buy yourself a ticket. Very good at what he does. Has a lot of heart out there every single time he goes through the curtain. So definitely get on the bandwagon, support him. We will be back with you Sunday. We are kicking off currently in active month. First on the deck for that is going to be the Hoff. Been a long time since we've talked to the Hoff. We'll do so Sunday. So get out there, support your local independents, and we will talk to you on Sunday afternoon.
All right.